So let's go ahead and start hour number three. Nice to have you here. A tremendous Monday to you. My name is Jim Rome. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or you want to finance your current home, Rocket can. 1-800-636-8686 is your telephone number. Phone call is coming up, but we are joined right now by the head football coach at Maryland. He is in his third season as Terrapins head coach, a 2018 Broyles Award winner. Maryland is 3-0. They're in first in the Big Ten East. They're at home against Kent State on Saturday. Their head coach is Mike Locksley. Mike, it is so good to have you on. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. Lots to talk about, too. So you're coming off that win over Illinois. Let me start right there. That was at their place on Friday night. I'm curious kind of what was going through you when Joseph Petrino lined up for a 32-yard field goal that would win you that game?
Well, having a lot of confidence in Joe, and I know he had pushed one earlier in the game. My big thing was he makes that kick in practice 90% of the time, so felt really comfortable, which is why we, didn't necessarily take a couple shots in the end zone and risk it, because we felt like we were in the spot where Joe, we had a lot of confidence in him being able to go make the kick.
You know, on top of that, Mike, you had a great speech in the locker room after the game, making the point that while it was not a perfect game, your guys did show you something in the way they faced that adversity. They showed some grit. In fact, specifically, what did they show you in falling behind on the road in the fourth quarter and then finding a way to dig deep and come back and win that game?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because earlier in the week we had talked about a game in 2019. We had started out 2-0 and a fast start, and we went and played a tough Temple team, which was very similar to what we faced out of Illinois. And knowing Brett and the type of coach he is, that his team, we knew it would be a tough game going on the road for a conference win. And for me, I think the biggest part is that 2 years ago when we faced that type of adversity, and I look back to the play where we stripped the ball out and it bounces right into the hand of the receiver who runs in for a touchdown, our sideline would have been devastated. And instead, I thought I saw a different sideline after they made that score. I saw a couple guys from both sides of the ball go to each other and say, hey, don't worry about it. We'll make the play. We're good. We're good. And to me, that meant that these guys are listening. And so we didn't play a perfect game, but we still found a way to win. And to me, that's a start of where I want this culture of this team to be.
Right. So interesting the way you answer that, because it leads me to my next point in question. Mike Locksley is joining us. Like, one of the things you've talked about is focusing on making sure that guys come together as a team. Like you just pointed out, that they're not only focused on the scoreboard, but they're focused on the next play. Focusing on the next play, or focusing on the next play in a game or in life, is such a hard thing to do because it's so easy, right, to get caught up in everything else that's swirling on around you. How do you go about teaching that and developing that mindset?
Man, it's just like raising kids. When you draw the line in the sand that, hey, here's our standard, and our standard is, you know, having been a coach and been a play caller, and I can tell you, during my career, I spent a lot of times looking at scoreboards, and they create anxiety. You know, the scoreboard really is a liar to you until the end of the game, because it really doesn't matter. And so, you know, to be down, whether it's 17-10 with 5 minutes left, as a play caller, as a player, you start to really press because you're like, man, we're down, we're behind. Well, if you don't focus on the scoreboard and just focus on the next play, and, you know, we've had a lot of great comebacks here. You know, Frank Reich was the starting quarterback and the greatest comeback in college football when they played Miami. And it all starts with just playing that next play. And then you worry about the scoreboard at the end. And, you know, we've really tried to beat that in our players' minds, that it doesn't matter what the score is until the end of the game. And let's just keep that part. Let's stay process-oriented and not outcome-oriented.
Right. I love that part. And I love this notion of the standard being the standard. I also love the notion of the standard over feelings, or mind over feelings. I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
In fact, when we talk mindset, Mike, I want to ask you about Trevor Moad, because I know you worked with him. It's just so gutting. Did you know that he was ill? He passed away last week, and I spoke with him a number of times over the years. I had a great affinity and respect and fondness for him, and I didn't even know that he was ill. Did you, and what kind of an impact did he have on you?
Yeah, it's crazy, because I spoke with Trevor. I mean, I usually speak with him weekly, and, a week ago or 2 weeks ago, he helps me with a lot of some of the messaging things we did, and in his honor, I actually used one of the messaging points he used about the man doesn't fall on the top of the mountain. He has to climb it. And, you know, Trevor has just been so impactful over the last 3 years that I've tried to build and develop the mental toughness of this team, because we're a program that has never kind of played to our potential since I've been back here. And, you know, Trevor's been really a consistent piece with me in terms of just messaging and developing that type of mindset. And, you know, when you hear, you know, it's, again, him being unselfish, he never once mentioned him being sick. I know he moved to the mountains and, you know, during COVID, and we've talked, like I said, plenty of times, but not once did he mention it. And that's just Trevor. I mean, I looked at a text message he sent me 2 weeks ago, and he asked me for some Terp gear and for me to send a pic of my family to him. So, you know, he's so impactful. I know he was very impactful at Alabama, where I first started having a chance to work with him under Coach Saban. I know he helped over at Georgia, and he works with Texas A&M and a bunch of different people. So he will be missed.
I really appreciate your thoughts on that. You know, I thought the same thing, Mike. Like if you, one thing for me not to know, because I would message with him also a little bit, but obviously you were closer to him than I was, and even you didn't know, but that point that you made about the mountains, I started to think about that because I would watch Trevor on Instagram, and he would post pictures from Lake Arrowhead, and I would say, dude, I mean, what a beautiful, beautiful spot, because that's not too far from where we are. And now I look at that, and I wonder, right? Like, I wonder if he wanted to go there and spend his time there. But to your point, even you didn't know. So one more thing I want to ask you about him. Like, in terms of messaging and imaging, you mentioned that he inspired you to coin the phrase, the best is ahead, as part of your vision for the program. So how would you describe that vision?
Well, you know, he says it all the time. And one of the things he would end our conversation, because, you know, in 2019, as I get the job here after leaving Alabama, where you go to three straight national championship games, and then you come to Maryland, which everybody knows I have an affinity for. As I talk about building Maryland, you know, it starts in recruiting. It starts with moving into a new facility that we just dedicated. And, you know, he would always say, you know, Locks, the best is ahead. Let's focus on what it looks like, or what you want it to look like. And you kind of, that is an affirmation statement when you say the best is ahead, because it's a statement. It's not a question behind it. So, you know, from that point on in 2019, I would always, in a lot of my social media, when I talked to our team, whenever I had speaking engagements, because of him using that term with me all the time, the best is ahead, that's kind of become a mainstay here at Maryland, you know, for a program that's building and trying to get to a place where we can have an impact in college football. And I really think it really fits this place, because I do think our best is still ahead of us. But like I said, a lot of it's due to the fact of what Trevor has imparted on me through the years.
I'm glad you and I could talk about him. Mike Locksley is joining us. You just mentioned, Mike, that a lot of people know you have an affinity for the program. For those who do not know, you've got actually deep roots and deep ties to the area. You played your college ball at Towson. You worked in the area and coached at Maryland in the late 90s. You came back in 2012. You spent time as the interim head coach in 2015. Now you're the full-time head coach. Given all of that, what does it mean to you to be the head coach at Maryland?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can be the head coach at a place that you grew up a fan of. I mean, I grew up in the shadows of Coalfield House, where, you know, the late Len Bias and all those great Terp basketball teams. And then in the mid-80s, you know, Maryland football was one of the better programs up and down the East Coast, where they won three straight ACC championships under Coach Ross, Bobby Ross. And, you know, growing up in this area, we didn't have I grew up in D.C., so we didn't have a university for the District of Columbia. So I naturally was a Maryland fan and spent a lot of times coming up here in my childhood and teenage years rooting for the Terps, and to be able to be a part of it for 14 years, three different stints like you talked about. It's a place that's been great to me and my family. There's a very fruitful area for recruiting. It's just great to be able to coach the hometown team, man. It means more to you when you kind of are as invested as I am.
Thing is, Mike, you're invested in a number of things that are above and beyond the game itself. As an example, you've been an advocate for hiring and supporting women within the football program. Why is that something that is so important for you and for the program?
Well, I just think this area kind of bleeds it. You know, this area is the richest minority area in the country, and growing up here, I've seen minorities really strive and thrive because of what this area brings. And for me, I've kind of been that guy that loves the underdog. I was an underdog, still am. You know, not a lot of people really thought that I could have success here or the success that we're going to be able to have here. And I just like, you know, paying things forward because I know I didn't get here by accident and I didn't get here on my own, and a lot of people helped me get here. So I look at it, to me, with the coalition I started for minority coaches and, you know, with women in the sport of football, I look at it as me paying things forward for the opportunity that I've been granted.
Mike Locksley is the head coach of Maryland. Mike, there's so many things that we could still talk about. I do want to ask you about this before you go. You're also leading the way when it comes to mental health awareness. When you face Iowa on October 1st, it will be a mental health awareness game. I know that's something that is very close to your heart. Why is that an area where you want to put your time and your resources?
Yeah, you know, my son Miko Locksley was murdered in 2017 when I was the offensive coordinator at Alabama. And he dealt with mental health issues from the age of 21 until he died. And as a family, it was nothing that we were very familiar with. And my wife, Kia, and I dived right into trying to understand it. And, you know, typically when someone is injured, you break an arm, you can put a cast on it, people understand that you're hurt. Well, the brain is one of the areas, you know, when the brain is hurt and the mental health issues take on a life of themselves, there's not a lot of people that have sympathy or even empathy to understand it. And so, you know, dealing with 18 to 22 year olds, I learned that the age of 21 is where a lot of these breakthroughs happen with mental health issues. And so, you know, the group of kids that I deal with, I see it. I know what it looks like now, and I haven't had a son that dealt with it. So again, paying things forward, my wife and I just feel it's a really important endeavor for us to bring light that, you know, just like tearing an ACL, mental health issues are real, and that they deserve to be helped any way you can. And so we've created a lot of initiatives within our program and within our community that we can use to try to help combat the stigma against mental health issues.
Exactly, the stigma against mental health. Mike, one last thought, because, and I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because I tend to forget myself, right? I've got a son who's 20. I have a son, or we have a son who's 20 and a son who's 16. And I find myself getting a little bit short sometimes and maybe not as empathetic. And some of the times, frankly, I think that they deserve it. But at the same time, I think that you can speak to this when you deal, and mental health is something that affects everybody. But what about people this age, teenagers? You know, they're dealing with challenges in their life that are really hard for somebody at that age to bear, and they might have to go through it alone. Like, what have you learned from your players in doing this work?
Well, I learned that the more you're open about it's okay to take off the helmet and take off the mask, as my friend Rachel Barbeau talks about, when you can encourage them to communicate, because, you know, these guys, they have so much information and so much things thrown at them that we didn't have growing up. And now to have a outlet where they can communicate those things and then make it a comfortable environment where it's not, you know, a football player is not cool to say, hey, I'm going through depression, or I've got some stuff going on. So we try to really extract the baggage that they come in with by making it really easy and cool to talk about, hey, these things are going on in my life and I need a little help.
I wonder about that, right? It seems like counterintuitive, because the culture for so long was, hey, man, fight, battle, never show weakness, never let them know, never show them. But at the same time, you still want to cultivate that kind of toughness and mental toughness and physical toughness and emotional toughness, but you want to cultivate empathy as well, too. So how do you go about doing both those things?
Well, it goes back to, I equate everything to being a parent, man. You got to hug them when they're doing, you know, great, and get on them when they're doing, you know, bad, but still find a way to have that relationship with them where they feel comfortable enough to tell you that, hey, things are going on. And, you know, to me, that's my role as the head coach. Our roles as coaches is not just about what happens on the football field, but helping them be the best version of themselves, to be great husbands, great fathers, great spouses, you know, as they mature in our program.
You bet. One last thought. What about something on the football field? You're getting ready for Kent State on Saturday. What is your message to the team this week as they get ready for that game?
You know, it's just win Monday through Friday. That's the goal, and that's the standard, meaning we got to go out and have great practices Monday through Friday. Really, the opponent on Saturday doesn't matter. It's about what we do, and let's do it as best as we possibly can with the right kind of mindset.
He's the head football coach at Maryland. He's in his third season right there. And once again, Maryland 3-0 and in first in the Big Ten East. Mike, I appreciate you and I appreciate the conversation. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jim.
Great talking to you, Mike. Well done. Mike Locksley is the head football coach at Maryland. Man, so much good stuff in that. All right, so when we come back, I'm going to open it up to you. I want to finish my thoughts on taunting in the NFL. I did not get to the end of that. There's more on that. If you want to react to anything you just heard, I thought that was a really profound conversation, and I'd love to get your reaction on that too. 1-800-636-8686. So, it's been a great start to the NFL season. It's only going to get better at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. DraftKings is putting new customers in the center of the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Get in on the action right now. It's simple. You pick your lineup, you stay under the salary cap, and then you see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at millions in total prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. And the best part is you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings app right now. Use the code ROME. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter the code ROME, R-O-M-E, and get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. Codename ROME. Only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Once you get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call or click Grainger.com. All right, so we are through the interview portion of the program. I mentioned that I want to finish up my thoughts on taunting. A lot of you are on this one. Dear Jim, there is a safety concern with taunting. Let me stop right there. I said, this is not like them trying to eradicate headshots. That was a safety concern. I understood that. You had to adjust to that. That affected the bottom line. This is not that. This guy takes exception to what I said. Dear Jim, there is a safety concern with taunting. Butt-hurtedness is a serious issue. Good point. All right, so I mentioned at the end of the hour, before I could finish the thought, that John Mara, the Giants, was talking about this. I said that somebody got it in their head that this was a bad thing for the sport. Now, keep in mind, the Mara family is football royalty, and that is a Tiffany franchise. I understand all this, but this really is not a good take, and I don't really think anybody agrees with this take, and I'm really not sure where he was going with this take.
I mean, that's something we discuss every year in the competition committee. We get kind of sick and tired of the taunting that does go on from time to time on the field. We've tried to balance the sportsmanship with allowing the players to have fun, and there's always a fine line there, but none of us like to see that, and it's just a question of whether you can have rules that can be enforced and without taking the fun out of the game too. But nobody wants to see a player taunting another player. I know I certainly don't, and I think the rest of the members of the competition committee feel the same way too.
I think you're confusing nobody with you, nobody with the quote competition committee. I mean, there's like disdain in his voice for it. Quote, nobody wants to see a player taunting another player. Again, it's just wrong. That's dead wrong. Talk about not knowing your room, not knowing your audience. Nobody wants to see a player taunting another player. I'm here to tell you, speaking on behalf of everybody, everybody wants to see a player taunting another player. Except the worst part about some of these calls is that guys aren't even taunting each other. It's a ball spin. It's a little talking. It's nothing. Yet they're treating it like you just decapitated the quarterback. This is not one and the same. And speaking of those Tyreek backflips, Why wasn't Lamar Jackson flagged for cartwheeling or front somersaulting into the end zone last night against KC? How is that different from a backflip? And I'm not even looking for him to get flagged. It would ruin a great moment. But where is the consistency? How is Tyreek being flagged or unsportsmanlike different than what Lamar did? And don't tell me that Lamar won't get flagged for that because there wasn't an opposing player right next to him when he did it, because that's not good enough. The league's officials are already struggling enough with judgment calls in the game as it is. Why is the league going to give them even more judgment calls to make? Especially really costly calls that are coming in really big situations. A third down stop deserves to be celebrated. It's a big play. You shouldn't punish the defense for making a big stop and getting off the field and then rewarding the offense with 15 yards and a first down for failing. Why are you going to reward that? Flagging guys for taunting, especially the way it's being done right now, is punishing success and rewarding failure. But aside from that, it's just flat out dumb. It really is ruining the game. It has to stop. Put an end to this. I want to say that one more time. It's punishing success and it's rewarding failure. And aside from those things, it's just dumb. It's dumb. It's affecting the game. And by affecting the game, I mean really hurting the game. Affecting the integrity of the game. It is the outcome of games. It's got to stop. Man, just own it. It's a big mistake. Ryan in Sacktown writes, "Hey, JR, if the jungle had a taunting rule, UNS clones would have been ejected last week. Regards, old man Ritz Velcro shoes." This is what old people do, man. You've seen this, right? They wear the expanding pants, the Velcro shoes, whatever's comfortable, man. That's what old folks do. They wear clothing that's comfortable. Get off this old man's back. Geoff, quote, "Even we think that implementing taunting penalties is a terrible business decision. Regards, IHOP changing its name to IHOB. And Chuck E. Cheese masquerading as Pasquale's." That's an all-timer right there. Like, an admission that our pizza sucks and that people aren't going to buy it, so we better change the name of the restaurant. They won't buy our pizza. This was the whole thing that when the pandemic hit and you can no longer get in the building, and that if you can no longer get in the building, then they were relying only on their food. And they knew that was not going to work. Like, you know, never mind that it's kind of a creepy place anyway. But back then, I can remember there was a time when, you know how it is, there's wedding season, and then there's when you have kids, there's like a birthday every single weekend. Because your kids are the same age as your friends' kids, and this is what you do. You go to each other's birthday parties. There was a time where I felt like I was in a Chuck E. Cheese every freaking Saturday. And it was always kind of weird, frankly. But then when the pandemic hit, but people go because kids love it. They love it. I can't say the same for parents, but kids love it. But when the pandemic hit, you couldn't go inside there anymore. So how do they stay in business? Man, they got to move food. But they knew even deep down that nobody was going to buy their pizza because nobody was there for their pizza. Because their pizza was, how do I put this, ass? So then they changed their name to Pasquale's, reportedly. At least one or two of them did. An all-time story. Hey, man, at least they're self-aware. At least they know. Jamie and Green Bay makes a good point. So, you can't spin a football, but the entire defense can run to the end zone and pose for a picture. Okay, got it, NFL. Right, exactly. How is that not taunting? How is that not showing somebody up? And how is spinning a football taunting? It's like the coolest move ever. Like, never mind that I could never get anywhere near an NFL field as a player. I don't even think that I could spin a football as a human being. I just love that move. I've always loved that move. And you're telling me that's not part of the game. or you're going to be penalized if you do that. Man, if that's no longer part of the game, I want to say that I don't want anything to do with the game, but that would be a lie because I love the game and I need the game and I want the game. But, man, don't take that out of the game. Mike and Minnie, quote, the NFL wants to get rid of taunting. We'd rather them get rid of extra points and field goals.
It is good!
No, it's not.
It's no good.
Are you kidding me? He missed it right.
He missed it right.
Oh, my heavens.
They're a hard team to trust, aren't they? The Vikes? They're a hard team to trust. That was such a great call, too. It is good. No, just kidding. Oh, my bad.
My bad.
That is the ultimate record scratch right there. A 36-yarder to win it and a great game. An amazing game. Man, don't you mess with the Cards. Don't you mess with Kyler. Don't you assume anything against the Cards. This says, hey, Jim, wait a second. Chuck E. Cheese has games? Sincerely, Rit. Todd near Lexington. Games, that weird thing, that weird little elevator or that weird little box that goes up to the ceiling. The freaky booths with the black and white pictures. The dirty ball pit that you can jump into. Yeah, they got a lot of stuff, man. The on-stage performance. I don't miss those days at all. The creepy animatronic puppets. Yeah, I don't miss those days at all. Hey, man, it make you want to have a kid again? No. No. 2's a good number. I got 2 kids I love. 2 sons I love. Would not go back. Hey, wouldn't you do it all again? No. Not if I had to go back to Chuck E. Cheese every Saturday, I wouldn't. Weird. Man, I had some days in the 818 at the Cheese. Weird.
818 for life.
Except on Saturdays when I had to go hang out with the Cheese, the Chuckster. All right. What do you say we take this break? I still want to talk Tom Brady. Hey, hit me up with an ATP. Is there something you want to ask me that maybe you've always wanted to ask me but have not yet asked me? Or maybe something you never thought to ask me until about 5 minutes ago? This is why we do this on a Monday. ATP. Ask the pros. We also do sports updates at the bottom of every hour. All right, so it's Monday, so let me knock out this ATP. You clones get to ask me a question. And it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Ah, this is clever. This is an ATP. Look at what this guy did with the ATP. And again, as you know, the ATP is where you ask me a question. Jimmy Jim, how long have you been doing the ATP? I see what you did there, Brent and PC. I don't know the answer to that since it first appeared on the log. I don't know, 3 years? 2 years? 3 years? 5 years? I don't know. It's like it's so awesome that time flies when you're answering questions. 5 years? 7 years? My whole life? Jimmy Jim, did you gloss Jake with a nickname as a little kid? Jake the Snake, for sure, man. Jake the Snake was a load. He's not now. Jake's a great kid. Super kid. Great kid to hang out with. Great guy to talk to. But he was a load. At 5, I remember very distinctly when Jake was 5, we were knocking heads all day, every day. Because the kid was like a Tasmanian devil. He was just frenetic. I just could not get the kid to settle down. Jake the Snake. Jakeville. I used to call him, too, like, Jakeville, this little town of Jakeville, man, lives in his own world. Jakeville. Let's all go to Jakeville. Let me think, what else? Jakeville. Jake, for a little while, I used to refer to as the international man of leisure. He was living the good life for a little while. But mostly Jake the Snake. But none of those things apply now because he's got his head screwed on straight, getting after it, doing good things. Let's see. Hi, Jim. Do you play any games on your iPhone? No. Bella, not one. Never. Ever. Not even one. Not once. Ever. I have not played a game. Here comes the boomer in me. I have not played a game on a phone. And you know, Bella, you know I love my iPhone. I have not played a single game on a single phone since Brick Breaker back on the BlackBerry. Literally. Not one. Not one. Hi, Jim. What is the biggest misconception about you? Bella B. That I'm an a-hole, which is not true. I'm like the best guy ever. Ask me. All right, there is your ATP. And this guy, because it is my favorite handle from anybody on Twitter that's a part of the program, at Lanier Messenger. Columbia Record is a great deal. Signed, Timeshare Guy. Hey, Justin, the thing is, like, your takes don't even have to be that good, and I'll always read your crap because I love your handle, at Lanier Messenger. God, that was a stressful time in my life. The most stressful period of my life may have been when I was in sales. God, I hated that so much. I could do hour upon hour upon hour about how much I hated outside sales and how bad I was at outside sales. So that guy nailed it. Like, I almost want to take that handle and change mine from at Jim Rome to at Lanier Messenger. I've thought about it. Can I get a verified blue check on at Lanier Messenger? Really quickly, just to reset that, that's the first product I ever tried to sell. The Lanier Messenger. The Messenger machine from Harris Lanier. A $2,500 answering machine with four micro cassettes they used to spin around in the mid-80s. Imagine asking somebody $2,500 for an answering machine. And the way we used to try and pitch that thing, like, oh yeah, that little micro cassette there, number one, that's for whatever department. And number two, that's for whatever department. Like, are you kidding me? $2,500 for an answering machine. I understand that we didn't have the technology that we have now, but was there ever a time when somebody should spend $2,500 for an answering machine? Let's just say this. I was not smart enough or talented enough to talk anybody into that. That went very badly for me, which is why I did what most people would do. I quit. When the going gets tough, quit. When life gives you lemons, quit. It's not how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you quit. It's not how many no's. It's how many times you quit. So I quit. So let me say something about TB44 really quickly. Every week that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are apart, Tom Brady looks better and better, and the hood looks worse and worse. And yes, Chouds, I like Mac Jones. And I understand that they're not asking very much of him just yet. And I like what I've seen, even though they haven't asked very much of him just yet. But it does pale in comparison, right, with what TB44 has done since leaving New England and is still doing in Tampa. That's the thing. That's no one-off. I mean, seriously, Tom Brady's situation in Tampa gets better. It gets better every single day that he's away from the hood. He wins a Super Bowl in his first season with the Bucs, and it's like they sent the screenplay back to the writer's room, and they've rewritten the script, and it's even better for him in year two. Like, now they've got this 44-year-old quarterback winning an MVP while leading a historic offense and running down his longtime nemesis, Pinky's single-season record for passing touchdowns in his sights. Think about that. That guy literally has a look at that. He could break the guy's record, who was all but broken and busted up himself at 39. You think I'm joking, right? But I'm not. This guy's been incredible to start the year. Remember, it wasn't he who kept giving the ball back to Dallas in their much closer than expected opening season win. He was balling. He threw for four touchdowns. So, what does he do? the week after? How does he get down yesterday? By jumping right back into the front seat of that Ferrari that he's been driving, and he throws more touchdown passes against Atlanta. More. How many more? Check it.
Brady under pressure of the ball toward the end zone. Caught ball. Gronk's got it. Touchdown Tampa Bay. Tommy to Gronky. And the Bucs lead 6-0. Pass in the end zone. Diving catch. Touchdown Tampa Bay. Tommy to Gronky again. That's two today. Brady looks toward the end zone. Caught ball. Touchdown Tampa Bay. Mike Evans. Fire the cannons. Bucs lead 20-7. Mike Evans makes the catch. Is he in bounds? He is. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Fire the cannons. That one's for Monty Kiffin. Going toward the end zone. Godwin makes the catch. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Fire the cannons. Five touchdown passes. Tom Brady today.
Five TDs. Five in that 48-25 beatdown over the Falcons. Now, how's this for a stat? Vinny Testaverde held the record for most touchdown passes in a season. In a season for a 44-year-old quarterback. His record was five. Brady did that in a single game yesterday. Take that for data. He's got nine touchdown passes in two games. I'm serious when I say this. Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl last year, and they only really started to click offensively around Christmas of last year. The offense is better now than it's ever been. Yesterday was their ninth straight game of scoring 30 or more, including last year's playoff run. Nine straight games of 30 or more for Brady and his weapons. And yes, weapons. This guy's never had more weapons than he has right now. He has more weapons than anybody in the game right now. More than he's ever had at any point in his 22-year career, and it's not even close. And yes, he also now has a head coach and an offensive coordinator who love to air it out behind one of the better blocking lines in football. These are all perfect ingredients for this guy to have a career year, to set career numbers at age 44. And if you want to argue about those weapons and their greatness, I'm telling you, the collection is historic. Let me put it to you another way. Option number three and option number four are Antonio Brown and, quote, Gronky. Two players who are considered the best players of their generation at their position, and two dudes who look like they've been on the TB44 holistic approach to health and wellness themselves. They both look like they've turned the clock back 5 years to start this season, like Tommy and Gronky. The clock!
Tommy to Gronky!
I mean, who would argue that this is not the most talented offense in football? I mean, question for you. Who are Pat Mahomes, Patrick, Mahomes' third and fourth weapons? Not Gronky? Not Mr. Big Chest? Tampa Bay is not just loaded in today's game. I'm telling you, they're loaded, like, historically. And Gronky, my guy, you have been balling. Keep balling the way you've been, and not only is the ball going to keep finding you like it has, but this element may run you down like it did back in the day.
I'm trying to get laid.
You're trying to get laid?
Yeah.
So why are you on the Gronk cruise?
To sleep with Gronk.
But you understand that's tough. That's going to be tough.
It might be tough because there's like way hotter chicks than me, but I'm hoping I'm a little bit more freaky than them.
Gronky again!
Wow. I'm not even going to comment. That's incredible, that sound. The only thing I have to say to that is, Gronky again, man. Gronky, watch out, Gronky, again. They're coming. So, yes, Tom Brady's got a situation that any quarterback would die for, yes. But credit to him for bouncing and realizing it and finding it. A situation that the mumbler himself could not provide or create in the end at New England. I mean, my man was so dead set, the hood, I mean, on finding a contingency plan for Brady that he would not focus on building around this guy. Below not good does not begin to do justice to the weapons that Tommy had to deal with at the end of his tenure there.
Below not good.
So the alleged football genius IQ that the hood has been sporting for years may be legit, but I'm going to say that he dropped a few points on this one. I mean, it seems crazy to think, but think about this. Who can guarantee me that even a first rounder like Mac Jones will play longer than Tommy right about now. I don't think you can. Not the way this guy's going. Tommy, first of all, calling a 44-year-old man Tommy is something. Tommy, his biggest worry right now is his defense. Because that dynamic defense that shut down Mahomes and his offense in the Super Bowl, to me, does not look like the same one. It's just not. At least not yet. However, Todd Bowles is still right there. And it says here that he'll get it figured out. He'll get his guys right. Remember, it took most of the year to figure it out offensively last year. And that was with Tommy pulling the trigger.
Tommy to Gronky.
Hood's biggest worry right about now? Well, let's be honest. He's got plenty. Is that right, radio man? Did you see what my defense just did to Zach Wilson and the Jets yesterday? Yeah, 4 interceptions, buddy boy. Scoreboard, bitch. Everybody had high praise for old Zachary until me and Steven's defense turned him inside out. And Tom, yeah. We moved on, old radio man. Live by that advice. My feet are here in Foxborough with Steven. My feet are where they are, with Steven and his wild haircut and Nike Belichick. So you worry about your cat, radio man, and I'll worry about my cat. You just worry about your feline, and I'll worry about mine. I'll see Tommy again in 2 weeks, then we'll see what happens, all right? All right. Huge call brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They're close, they're convenient, they're known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people that you know you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. My thanks to Charles Davis, Tom Verducci, Mike Loxley, the XR4TI. See you tomorrow. We're out.